Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Hi, and welcome to Binging with Benefits. I'm Becca.
Welcome to Binging with Benefits. I'm Jess.
And today we have two very special guests. We have my sister, Allie. Well, our sister, Woo-hoo. Allie. And we also have the actual queen of Halloween. Ooh, that rhymes. Mm-hmm. Leah, who is a really good friend of ours. Coming live from Montana. We're so excited that both of them are here.
Grab your popcorn and your tissues. You're going to need both.
Yeah.
And maybe a stuffed animal. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Probably a stuffed animal is going to be needed for this one, guys. Mm-hmm. But we also have to talk about who we're dressed as.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're binging with the Belchers today.
Binging with the Belchers. we have Tina.
Louise.
Linda.
And Bob.
She's even got a spatula.
She does have the
that's dedication.
Perfect.
Yes.
And the mustachio. As the person who had to wear a mustache for an episode, it's terrible. So, lo siento.
Very itchy, by the way. So, you're welcome.
I'm shocked we haven't heard how itchy it is. Because I'm sure it's really bad.
I think I'm more of a wuss.
Very itchy. Yeah. I mean, I like put like some lotion and stuff on it to kind of like calm it down a little bit, but there's still like little hairs that are getting in my nose every now and then. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's all good.
It's for the bit,
baby. Like it.
Yes.
And Bob has a question for you.
Oh, Bob has a question. What, Bob?
So why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh,
get to the other side.
To go to Bob's Burgers on the other side.
That's such a Bob's Burger. That's such a Bob joke.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I love
burger
it.
Burger of the day.
Burger of the day. Why did the chicken cross the road? Burger.
Yes.
Oh, so good. Well, we're so happy to have you guys here. We have some very special times planned today. It is still part of spooky season, so we do have some spooky things we're going to talk about. But first, we need to talk about our Lord and Savior, Taylor Swift. Because as we are recording this, it is October 3rd, the day of The Life of a Showgirl's release. The four of us stayed up to listen to the CD, not the CD, the album, because we don't have CDs here. But
mine's in the mail, actually. It went out in the mail today.
I know Allie is still a purchaser of the hardcore, like, the physical media. She will still purchase for physical media. The rest of us are on streaming lifetime services.
I do all spectrums.
We need to talk about this album. Because, I mean, it's great, but we need to talk through the album itself. So I want to hear everybody's thoughts on the album. So sorry you're getting an album debrief as a part of your spooky binging with benefits episode, but not
no
sorry
one
at
should
all.
Be sorry about that. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I agree.
Honestly. This album, I'm just going to start out. Like, I've been a fan since, like, Teardrops on My Guitar. Like, that's how long we've been at this. And here's a little tidbit. She's a December baby. I'm a December baby. I'm 9 days older than her. So we've been through the thick of it like our whole lives. So anyway, and I just love her as an artist. I love her as an entrepreneur, also a philanthropist. I mean, she's she's an excellent human being, and she produces and puts out excellent music. And this album, it's so good. It's so, so good. And I went into it, I guess, kind of expecting the unexpected, because I didn't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. We all went in blind, obviously. But yeah, at the same time, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to feel the vibe. And like, instantly from the get-go, Fate of Ophelia, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, this is the vibe that we're going to be feeling the entire mm-hmm. of the entirety of the album. I'm like, yes, I'm here for it. This album is fire. There's no skips. No skips whatsoever. No. Yeah, I love this album.
I personally, I feel like when Taylor releases a new album, you kind of have to listen to it on repeat for a while. Mm-hmm. And because what song you liked the first time you listen to it, it might change the next day. I mean, it already changed for me yesterday. I was like, oh, I love Eldest Daughter. And then today I was like, man, I really like Canceled, and I really love Wishlist. Yeah. And I really, and so this album is just, like you guys said, there's no skips. It's fire. She just killed it. And honestly, hearing just through her music, how happy she really is, not only just in love, but where her life is, it's just kind of, I'm happy for her. So.
Amen. Church is over.
My emo heart is sad because I miss the emo Taylor lyricism a little bit. Like, this is definitely more 100%. It's like Red. 100%. It's like 1989. It is banger after banger. And she does weave in some lyricism there. Like, I mean, Allie was just playing a clip from an interview of one of my favorite lyrics from Father Figure, where she talks about, I pay the check before it kisses the mahogany grain. Ah, God, that girl, I swear. How did she think like that? So there's still some of that in there. But and there's still some tongue-in-cheek stuff, like talking about how her dick's bigger than Satan's. I mean, hello. Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, honestly.
Yeah,
pretty funny.
She's a poet.
She is a poet, and damn does she know it. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. She takes her job seriously.
Everyone's in the moment favorite song.
I can't. That's the thing, is I can't pick one.
Yeah. Can I pick two?
I have a list.
Opalite and Wishlist. I'll just say those two.
Opalite's my number one right now in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, Opalite, good. I already was expecting Opalite to be a favorite of mine. Anyway, so I will definitely agree with that. I love that song, but I think, there's just a list of at least five that I really, really like the most, and honestly all of the songs are really, really close in ranking for me. But I'm like you gotta love the first one, Fate of Ophelia. I'm like, that one's knocked it out of the park. It started out Opalite, Ruin the Friendship, I mean, Wishlist, Canceled, come on.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys already tried to decipher the little hidden innuendos and meanings to every song and who it could be about?
Yes and no. I'm just in the phase of just enjoying it. But also I can't help but think, this could be possibly about someone or something or whatever. But you know, I feel like I used to do that more with her other music, back in the day.
Why not lately?
I'm kind of with her. You know, you don't really have to dive super deep into her music. Just enjoy it. I don't know. I mean, and she said that recently. Just you know, not everything has to be an Easter egg. Not everything has to be about something or someone, you know? I'm like, I know. But honestly, I'm like, no, it's just the phase of life that I'm in where I'm like, you know, stuff really doesn't matter. What matters is I enjoy the music and I am just totally vibing to it, I think. And that's just where I'm sitting.
I will wait for everyone else to decipher because I'm like, I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah, true.
Same. Was saying, same.
So true. Yeah,
the track list in order, it's shaped like the Eras Tour stage. And I'm like, okay, I would have never figured that out.
Literally, I know. Isn't that crazy? If you literally line it up in the middle of the page, based off of the titles, it makes the shape of the Eras Tour stage, the key.
Man, the creativity.
I know.
How does she think like this? I just don't understand how you think that far ahead.
She's planned this like 3 years in advance. Like, she's been hinting.
That's what I mean, is how do you think
stuff
that far in advance? Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody had pointed out the other day, I saw it on Instagram, that the stadium that she took the picture in to kind of prep it was at the Miami Dolphins stadium. And what are their colors? The teal and the orange.
Teal and orange.
What the
crap? And it's like, wow. That, yeah, somebody pointed that out. And I was like, I would never in a million years have thought of that. Like, ever. But yeah, she does.
100% of these things are 100% on purpose, or some of these like happy accidents.
I think some of them are happy accidents, yeah. But I know that she definitely does put thought into everything.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
she's
100%
literally called herself out and said, yeah, I'm a literal Zodiac killer. Like, I have that kind of a mind.
Yeah. She's a mastermind.
She knows the fans love it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Saw a TikTok last night after I had listened to, you know, the album a couple times and I was going to bed, and there was a TikTok of like, basically someone was like going to bed and like getting into bed, like me going into bed knowing that I wake up in the morning and all the Swifties will decode everything for me.
Yeah, no, seriously, that's me,
right?
Me.
Yeah,
that's gonna be like all of us for like days and weeks and months, honestly,
for sure. Someone smarter is gonna figure more and more stuff out. I do like the idea that actually Romantic is about Healy. I don't know that it is, but I like that idea.
I read that it was about Charlie XCX.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Oh, interesting. Why? I don't know this theory.
The line about the coke, I think, had something to do with it.
Charlie has actually called her Barbie before, and yeah that's
Charlie's
the thing.
Written songs about her, about how she doesn't want to see her face.
Yeah, she has
why
said that.
What kind of beef do they have?
Because she's now a wife of someone who's in the band 1975. So my guess is the whole band has beef with her.
I forgot about that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Wow.
But that's so stupid. Yeah. Wait, I got to look at those lyrics, because now that I'm thinking about those lyrics.
And this is all like alleged, people. Like, this is not fact or
allegedly
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows, honestly. Just enjoy the vibe.
Like a toy chihuahua honestly barking at me from a tiny purse. That's how much it hurts. How many times has your boyfriend said, why are we always talking about her? Oh, see? Dang,
it could be,
girl,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's the ultimate clapback.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the song that she talks about it making her wet.
Yes.
I forgot song that was in. And like the evolution of Taylor from moving up into things like this, like his love was the key to opening my thighs, like she got sexual.
That she didn't have that mind already, but I'm like, yeah, she's been hanging out with Sabrina Carpenter a lot lately, so,
yeah,
you know.
Definitely. And I love it. We love a Sabrina Carpenter album in this here chat, like, seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love
fun
it.
Artists.
Okay, well,
fun music, honestly.
God bless the witty women who make their money being pretty and witty.
Grateful for new music, grateful for good vibes to help us through our day, honestly,
because we all need it.
That actually reminds me of the 100%, because they talk about on the New Heights podcast, they keep saying keep it 100, obviously. Uh-huh. 87 plus 13 is 100, and she says, yeah, that in, uh-huh, one of the songs. So that everyone's like, oh, that was an Easter egg.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, because if you look at the New Heights podcast, like, Travis has a terrible poker face. Every time she gave an Easter egg, that man was laughing so hard. So that's how people started picking up on the Easter eggs. They were like looking at Travis's reactions to see which could possibly be Easter eggs.
They are a good match.
For sure. I love them. May that love smack me in the freaking face. Like, for real. Is that what people are saying?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
The clapping with your fingers, like the little,
oh yes,
and then they say purr. Yeah.
I don't know, as I've said in like a previous podcast that I've been in, like, I'm so out of touch with that kind of stuff that I'm like, so.
But by listening to this podcast, I've gotten cool with like my niece,
right?
My 14-year-old niece. I learned stuff from Jess on this,
right?
Like, about like eating with no crumbs and all that stuff and like all that stuff. And she was so impressed. I was like, I learned this from Binging with Benefits, guys. Like, you learn a lot on this podcast. This is not just a binging podcast.
We're just educating the masses, okay?
Chopped. Yes.
And we thank you for it because, yeah, you're educating me and...
We're great.
Totally.
It's just because we're chronically online, folks.
No, it's literally...
Yeah.
We were actually doing something at the park. We were filming something in some outfits that are obviously not...
Nothing.
If you saw us walking down the street, you would definitely look at us. Anyway, so I was like, if anybody is chronically online, they will understand what we're doing. Like, we're obviously making a TikTok. It's fine.
But none of the people in that park looked like they were chronically online.
No, honestly, that's the thing. There were so many people in that park and we're like, okay, cool. I mean, I was just there to be like the camera girl mostly, but so much fun.
Speaking of spooky vibes, today our dear friend Leah is here because a sister from another mister grew up in witchy land, and this is stuff that fascinates me and Becca and all of us. Mm-hmm. And she has quite a plethora of spooky family stories that she is here to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Montana now, but I grew up in Massachusetts, and it is the land of Halloween, I swear. And not being too far from Salem, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. But I had an aunt and uncle who years ago bought a house in a town called Marblehead. And for anybody that knows that part of Massachusetts, it borders with Salem. And they wanted to get like an old, beautiful Victorian style house, but they knew they had to put a lot of TLC into it. And they finally found the house of their dreams. And I kid you not, this house was stunning. You walked in the front, it used to have a garden, and then you'd walk in the main door and it had one of those staircases that went up and then it branched off to both sides. It was stunning.
Wow, fancy. Cool.
It was fancy. And then there was like a little, and I'm only telling you guys this because it's part of the story. You have to know the layout of the house, but there's a closet, a coat closet to the left of the staircase. And then there was like a nice little family room in the front and then a skinny hallway that brought you back to where the kitchen and the dining area was. And when they bought the house at the time, my cousin was a toddler, still sleeping in a crib, but escaping a lot at the time. And so their first night in the house, they were really kind of stressed about it because they were worried she'd get out of the crib. And then they had that huge, massive staircase. Jeez. Well, they went to bed, and in the middle of the night, my aunt hears a thud down the stairs. And so immediately she runs out because, of course, you have a toddler. You're thinking, my kid just fell down the stairs. She goes out there and there's no one there. My cousin was in her bed sleeping and all was well. So she went back to bed thinking she's just hearing things. And this sound continued on for a few nights, and it was really starting to bother her because she's a mom and she'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking it was her child, and it was just driving her nuts. And then one night my uncle also heard it and it woke him up. And he's like, it sounds like a person falling down the stairs. I can't get over this sound. And this continued on every night for about almost 2 weeks before something new happened.
Oh my gosh.
It was on a weekend. My uncle was home from work and he was in their bedroom. Now, this house also had a gorgeous attic and they had a skeleton key. That's how old this house was.
It's like a true
old fashioned skeleton key. And he's in his room and he hears somebody running across the attic, and there's a closet up there, and opened the door and slammed it. He's like,
turn around. Yeah. Use that skeleton key to lock yourself out of the house.
Right?
Oh, hell no.
So his first thought, though, was, you know, the house was sitting on the market for almost 2 years when they bought it. And he's like, I bet you somebody that was homeless was like living in the attic and they just were like hiding out in there. And that's why they keep hearing all these noises.
Oh, that's so creepy. That's my worst fear.
Right.
I know. I'm same. Like, that would freak me out. And then, so he grabs a baseball bat.
Smart.
Like, I have no idea what I'm walking into.
Yeah.
Goes up there. He checks that all the windows were shut and he opens the closet door and there's nothing in there. And he's like, okay, I swear I heard somebody running and I heard this closet door slam shut. And so he was getting kind of freaked out.
Naturally.
Oh, yeah. And then a couple of days go by and my aunt was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And so she was just in the kitchen and my cousin was in the high chair and she's feeding her lunch. And she hears the front door go wide open and somebody ran into the coat closet and slammed the door shut. Oh. And she knew the front door was locked. So she was like, oh my gosh, somebody is in my house. Like, yeah, and yeah. She looked down the hall and she sees the door wide open. The front door is
No.
Yeah. So she then calls the police. And like, which I don't blame her. I would probably do the
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah.
The
same. Yeah.
The police are like, what's going on? She says, somebody ran through my front door, which was locked. I swear it was locked, but they ran through my front door. They're hiding in my house in a closet. And she's like, I need somebody to get here right away. And so he stays on the phone with her and some officers come to the house. They're there within a few minutes. They approach the house. And she's still in the back and the officer, you know, yells out to her and she's like, they're in the closet. And so he approaches the closet, opens the closet door and there's no one in there. So they proceed to have a team of two cops. They search the entire property inside and outside looking for anything that they could find. Because when they got there, the door was wide open. And he's like, I'm sorry, there's no one here. We've checked everywhere in the house. You're safe. Like, I would just shut your door and keep it locked. It's possible that, you know, maybe you didn't lock it and it wasn't latched all the way. There could have been a breeze that opened it. You know, trying to come up with any logical reason why this stuff would happen.
Yeah, but also way to gaslight somebody.
I know, right? Like, you're crazy. Stop calling our police station.
Yes.
Stop making us do our job.
I know.
I know.
So apparently there's some rule, I guess, that if somebody's murdered in your house, the real estate agents don't actually have to tell you that.
Yeah, they
but
don't.
But if you ask, they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they had to regardless.
It'll be in the house history, but no, they don't have to tell you at all.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. I know. And that pretty crazy. That's how they're able to sell these houses is because that information's not disclosed. You have to search for it.
Yeah. That's just scary to me. I don't know that I could buy a house personally that has had anything happen, but it would be a question I'd ask for sure, especially after this story.
Yeah. You stay far away from like old Victorian houses. They're really pretty people, but just look at them from the curb because
but they're loaded with ghosts. They're loaded with ghosts. So they decide they're going to drive down to go see their realtor and be like, okay, what's going on? Like maybe this is why the house has sat here for years. So they go to talk to her and she says, well, yes, there were three sisters died in the house.
Three. Not one.
Not one.
Not two.
Not two.
But three.
Three. Oh yeah.
So
yeah. So some cool history. So back in the day, Salem actually had a jail. And they actually, it closed in the early 90s because it was deemed that it was like inhumane to have anybody jailed there because it had no running water or things like that, no plumbing. But there was a gentleman that was in this prison and was released and decided he, you know, wanted to have a little fun, I guess, because what ended up happening, what they found out from the realtors, these sisters inherited the house when their parents passed away. So the three of them lived there. They were fairly young. I think if I remember correctly, they were like 17, 19, and 21. It was late teens to early 20s. They kind of ranged in that age group. And the one sister was actually in the front garden when this gentleman approached her. And he had a gun and she apparently ran into the house and she hid in the closet next to the stairs. And that's where he actually shot her and killed her. The other two sisters were able to run up the stairs, but he shot one on the staircase that led upstairs. And then the other one made it to the attic, which she hid in the closet in the attic.
Holy.
There we go. There we go. There's the whole story.
And so my uncle and aunt just kind of look at each other and they're like, okay, so we keep hearing somebody fall down the stairs. We've had somebody run into the closet. You had somebody in the attic closet. We don't see anybody. Oh my gosh, this is
that
what, you know. Yeah.
Oh, that's so scary.
I know.
I could never.
The cool thing though, not that it was cool what happened, but I will say that my aunt and uncle handled it like champs because they found out the girls' names from the realtor and they went into the house. And the first thing my aunt said she did is I walked through the front door and I called them by name and I waited a second. And then I said, I love your house. I'm so sorry what happened to you. And I now understand what happened. And I feel like you guys were just trying to tell us what happened to you so we would know. But you're scaring the crap out of me and you're scaring the crap out of my husband. And we want to live here peacefully with you. And you're welcome to stay here with us, but you have to stop all of this stuff. My aunt said as soon as she did that, it stopped.
Oh.
And that Christmas, she had ornaments, three ornaments made for each sister with their names on it.
Stop it.
The ornaments would move on their own. Like she'd wake up the next day and they would be in different spots entirely on the tree. So it was like their way of saying, we're here still. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know that I.
That's honestly so sweet.
That is kind of sweet, but also. I'm sitting in my chair and I'm like, oh man, do I want to keep listening to these stories? These things are crazy. It's so crazy. Honestly.
I love this stuff. See, I like
gosh.
I like that story because like I also am obviously I'm a believer in the paranormal, but like I believe that as long as it's not like a harmful spirit, like fine, we can coexist. Just be chill. And I love the acknowledgement of the girls and like I think that's such a sweet thing. Like if I had a sweet ghost I'd probably do the same thing.
Oh my
make her a little
if it was a sweet ghost.
If it was a sweet ghost. If there was an issue then I am bringing all the holy water into that ish.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. I mean hats off to your aunt and uncle. Holy cow. But I don't know how well I would have dealt with that. Honestly, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and we've had other family members that have had ghosts that aren't so nice where they touch them or they break stuff and they do other things. And it's like, you know, and then they get angry. And like I have a cousin, she bought a house and she had a male ghost. She knew who it was because the person died in the house before they bought it. And she kind of expected that maybe he could be there. Like you just kind of have to go with that. Like the idea that somebody just died in this house, we're buying it and it's possible something could happen. I mean, she said one time she was doing a floral arrangement and he put his hand down her back. And she like turned around real quick and she called him by name. I can't remember his name, but we'll go with Bob because, you know, on theme. And she was like, Bob, don't touch me. And he'd do it again. And she'd be like, I'm serious. Don't touch me. And she's like, it's like ice. Like, it just feels like ice, like touching you. Or he'd break vases in other rooms and or he'd make
not
sounds.
Cool. Not That guy deserves to be. You need to have like an exorcist to come to the house for that.
Yeah.
You need someone to come bless the house.
You need every kind of church leader of everything and just, and every type of whatever.
Everyone's welcome. Come take your turn.
Sage
get this guy out.
Sprinkle your water, whatever you got to do. Get him out. That's what I'd be doing.
My God.
That's the exact reason why I don't really watch or talk about that kind of stuff because I know it's real and I'm like I just don't in my mind I'm like I don't want to give it power and plus I'm like you know like 99.9% of the population on the earth I have anxiety and when those things like I hear those things in my brain and I go to like 1,000 in like a millisecond in my head thinking like oh my gosh something's gonna happen to me now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, I So I don't watch horror movies, which is kind of ironic considering Halloween is my favorite time of year.
Halloween's totally your thing. That's very hard to believe.
I know. I do special effects makeup. I love doing gore. I love all that. But if you put me in a movie theater and make me watch something like that, I'm like cringing and I can't do it. Like my version of like a perfect Halloween movie is like Hocus Pocus or Halloween Town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's totally my vibe too.
It's definitely not like The Ring. That's not ever going to happen. Ever, or I won't sleep.
Yeah, I've watched that once and I'm like, cool, never again.
You're brave because the trailer for that gave me nightmares. So I was like, there's no way.
It wasn't my choice though. It wasn't my choice. Someone's like, oh, let's watch it. And it was like a group thing. I was like, okay.
Cool. I mean, just to put it into perspective. So Becca and Jess were able to come out last year. I had put on a haunted house at a zip line business that's out here in Montana.
Haunted wood walk, like through the forest in the dark. It's not a haunted house. Yeah. It was like a forest, haunted forest walk.
It was insane.
Yeah. And I wrote the storyline for it and I couldn't sleep after I did that. Like I gave myself nightmares. I gave my own self nightmares. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? But this is the world I live in my head. It's all Halloween all the time until I do something like that. And then I'm like, okay, I have to pump the brakes because now I can't sleep for 3 days. But
only Bluey on the TV for the next 5 months.
There's no shame in watching Bluey. It's very educational. Nope.
It's one of the shows that I watch to fall asleep. So
I do the same thing. Or Big City Greens. Do you ever watch that?
Oh my God. I freaking love Big City Greens.
Our secret shame. Let's just talk about it. I actually watching Bob's Burgers to go to bed at night, too, ironically.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Mm-hmm.
I know, right? Ooh. Oh my gosh. You know what? I might low-key be watching something like happy and upbeat tonight to kind of help myself. Because I'm like, ooh, after that story. But I'm like, I know we need to hear more.
We're
here to hear more.
I know.
You guys want more?
Oh, heck yeah. I need more spooky stories from Leah because I keep hearing, I mean, that in itself was an insane story, but like, that's I keep hearing from people, she's got crazy stories. I'm like, great. I want to hear every single one. We don't have time for all of them, but I want to hear every single one.
I know.
We definitely don't have time for all of them, but hey, you know what? That's what we could do next Halloween. We can just keep adding more to the plate.
There
right?
we go.
Exactly. So true.
So one of the cool things about growing up where I did that whole area is just full of old places. So obviously you're going to have a lot of haunted spots. One of the most, like to me, is one of the most haunted spots. I don't know if you guys know who Lizzie Borden is. Lizzie Borden, she had an axe. She gave her father 40 whacks when she saw what he had done. He gave her mother 41 or however that thing goes.
Yeah.
You can actually go to Lizzie Borden's house. You can even stay in Lizzie Borden's house in the room where the mother was murdered. Well, I've gone.
Oh boy.
You feel very heavy in that place because they have pictures of the bodies. They were actually the first crime scene photos like of dead bodies that were ever taken in the United States. Which is crazy. Yeah, and they made replicas of the skulls to show the damage that was actually done to the father. So she hit her father actually like right in the eye, like in between the eyes, napping on the couch. Yeah. And the crazy thing is Lizzie Borden actually got off as not guilty. And there's a lot of speculation as to what actually happened and who even did it. But so I had a family member that went through the house. When they were in the house, this relative of mine is a Wiccan and is kind of in tune with a lot of spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
And can hear things sometimes. And she was in the room where the mother died and she heard a woman say, it was John.
Oh,
she was like, wait, what? It was John. And then she felt something touch her. And I was like, I am never going to the Lizzie Borden house. Well, years later, after that story, because I was always like, it was John. John apparently is the brother to Lizzie Borden's mother. So the mother she killed was actually her stepmother. It wasn't her birth mother. I believe she died really young, but her stepmother was the one who was mostly in her life. But John was her uncle through her biological mother. And he was at the house quite a bit. And it, there is a like people who think that it was actually John who did it for Lizzie.
Oh,
but no one knows. And so there's a gal years later, her name's Mikey, and she does special effects makeup, but she likes to do it in haunted places. Yeah. So, you know, Glam and Gore is her page.
Yes. I love her. Yeah.
Yes. So she went to the Lizzie Borden house. I was somebody who recommended that she go there, and she did. She went to Salem and then she went to the Lizzie Borden house, and she had a device that it allows you to speak to spirits through radio frequencies, like radio channels, almost how Bumblebee and Transformers talks through radio and music. It pulls that where ghosts can actually talk to you through this device. And she was staying, she chose to stay in that room as well. And they were trying to talk to the mom, and they kept asking her, like, who was it? And the radio came back and said, it was John.
Oh my gosh. Really?
The same thing that she said to my aunt 10, 15 years prior, which is insane. But yeah, the Lizzie Borden house is definitely something that it's worth checking out. If you guys got to go back east.
I really want to. We need to go. And Leah, we need you to be like tour guide of all
the tour guide
stuff. Yeah.
I volunteer as tribute for that.
I was going to say, we should just do like a really long vlog of this whole trip that we're going to do. Just like so everyone can experience this, because I'm so excited to experience it at some point with you. Because I'm like, we don't need a tour guide. We got Leah.
Yeah, right?
Leah's got more and more stories than these tour guides do.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's an idea. Why don't we rent a room at Lizzie Borden's house next Halloween and do Binging with Benefits live from that bedroom?
Says the girl who's terrified of horror.
Oh, no. I'm not going to sleep there. I will just hang out with you guys for the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'll sleep in my car around the corner.
For real. I'm not sleeping there.
There was another podcast that I listened to called The Unwaxed Podcast, and it's Sylvester Stallone's daughters. And they last Halloween or a couple Halloweens ago got invited from somebody. Like, they had a friend who was like just throwing money at stuff. And basically, he took them to Salem overnight just for funsies. And then he rented the whole Lizzie Borden home and also had a private chef cook them all dinner in the Lizzie Borden in the rooms. And they sat and ate dinner and heard like the tour guide giving all the like stories while they're eating dinner. And like, I think they ate dinner at like 9 p.m. or something creepy like that.
Oh,
so it was like dark and stuff. But I was like, oh, we can rent that. I don't have that. I don't have rent Lizzie Borden's
have that
home
kind of money,
but...
Yeah.
Well, it's actually not as expensive as you would think. It's like staying at a hotel. It's a few hundred bucks a night. It's like a bed and breakfast.
Really?
It's not that expensive. I'm sure in October though, they probably rake you over the coals on that one.
Overpriced. I'm sure, you know what? The beautiful thing about filming content for the internet is you film content for the internet before you actually need it. So we could go in freaking summer.
Exactly.
It's so true.
Exactly. It is the best. It's my favorite season. It's my favorite time of year. And I feel honestly very fortunate that I grew up there, because we were surrounded by everything history wise and just, the beauty of it. It's just, you can't top it. Although I'll say Montana comes close.
Yeah. Montana's beautiful in the fall. Are you kidding?
Haven't been there yet. I would love to go. But yeah, I'm in the same group. Like, I think that would be so awesome to grow up. Not that there isn't like history in California, you know, there's like the gold rush. That's probably
cool
all that we have.
History.
But I know. You know what I mean? I just love history and learning about people. And I think that would be the best thing. And that even includes learning how people die. And the scary stuff behind it.
All the creepy,
well,
scary
stuff. Well, I want to hear one more scary, spooky story from Leah about someone dying or
someone dying.
I don't know. I want to hear another spooky story.
All right. So I, at one point, actually lived in Utah. And I know Utah has been brought up a lot on this podcast. Poor Becca. She's lived there too. Utah's one of those places you either love it or you hate it. It's it's beautiful, but it's got just like anywhere else, it's got its pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
I was new to living there. So this was within probably the first couple of months, I'd say, that I lived there. A girl from back home, she moved in with me. We lived in college housing over there. So we were in Provo, which is kind of like where Brigham Young University is. And we were living in BYU housing, even though we weren't attending the school. So we were surrounded by all people our age. And we lived at this complex called the Brittany. And
what did you hear like in the middle of the night? It's Brittany B. No, I'm just kidding.
Just to tell you just how terrible this place was. We had cinder block walls. The heater never worked. So we had to keep our oven on and keep the door open to heat our apartment. Like it was that bad.
That sounds like Utah.
But hey, that's what $150 a month got you.
Yep.
$150. Oh, gosh.
But hey, crazy. I mean, when you're poor.
Yeah, you do what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. And one night, I had been hearing, this actually happened to me, and I've never had a situation like this happened up until this point, and it really messed with me for a while. I would hear somebody walking out on our, so it, there was three levels, and there was like, you know, you go up the stairs and it's like a balcony in front of every front door. And I could hear somebody like walking up and down, and I'm like, who keeps walking up and down and not going anywhere? Like it was very annoying. And then one night we had some guys over.
Naughty.
And yeah, I know. It was before
the door was open. So it was okay.
And the door was open before curfew.
We were just all chatting.
They didn't pass your threshold.
Yeah. And this lady walked in, and I was like, I look at her, I'm like, can I help you? And then everybody's looking at me, and I'm like,
stop.
Not understanding why they're looking at me, but I'm looking at this lady and I'm like, can I help you? And she's like, I'm trying to find my ring. And I'm like, okay, well, where did you last see it? And she's older. Like she's older. She's not a college student. She's like a mom. And I'm like, well, where'd you last see it? And then Tiffany's like, Leah, who are you on the phone? And I was like, no, I'm talking to this lady. And she's like, I see her back up and she goes to turn to her boyfriend and she's like, what lady? And I'm like, this lady. And she's like, I don't see a lady. And I'm like, I look at the lady and she's just standing there. And she's looking for her ring. And then her boyfriend goes, I have a really bad feeling. Like, I feel like the energy just like shifted in here. Oh. I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, you need to go. And like, I just kind of like shooed her out, and she wasn't going to leave. She was not leaving. She wasn't moving. I couldn't touch her. So I was like, and Tiffany starts screaming because she sees that I'm like trying to get this lady out and no one else sees her but me.
Oh my God.
So then I'm thinking, am I going crazy? And I'm like, I'm a sane person. Like I have no idea what's going on. So the lady walked out, thankfully. And then the two guys were like, what was that? Because I felt something. And so we all in this room, we had the same faith. We were all the same faith. We all went to the same church. Uh-huh. And I felt like these guys were pretty in tune with their faith as I was, and my roommate at the time. And I was like, well, I could see her, they couldn't see her, but they felt something. And I was like, that had to be something bad. Well, I go back to my room to go get a sweatshirt, because now I'm like freaking out. And she's in my room.
Oh, stop it.
And I'm like, I start screaming, and Alan, which is Tiffany's boyfriend, he comes in and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, she needs to leave. Like, you need to. And I'm like talking to her like, you need to leave. And I'm telling him, she needs to leave. And he's like, where is she? And I'm like, she's right here. And then she lunges at me.
Oh, stop
it. Full on. Yes, I am full on. And Alan's like, oh my gosh. So he freaks out and Tiffany comes in and she starts screaming because she sees all my muscles. She's like, I could tell you were pushing something because all your muscles and your legs and everything. And I'm like trying to get this lady. She's like, give me my ring. She just kept saying, give me my ring. Give me my ring. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have your ring. I'm like, you need to leave. And she, like, she wouldn't get off of me. And then she finally gets up and then she's like, I know you have it here. And she walks out of my room and I'm like, she just walked out of the room and I like look and I can't see her and she's not anywhere. So we called our church bishop. So in our mm-hmm. faith, a bishop, it's like the equivalent of like a pastor, a priest, something like that. So we're like, we have no idea who to call except him. So we call him and thankfully, I mean, he got to our apartment super fast and he walked in and he immediately was like, yeah, we need to bless this apartment. He's like, there's something. He's like, I feel something really dark. And he's like, we need to. And so he actually called two more people from our church to come over. Because he was like, we need more people here. And I was like freaking out because I'm like, she can't come back. Like, I can't have her back.
Yeah.
And like, literally. And then all of a sudden they're all in my apartment and I see her walking on the thing. And I'm like, she's walking outside. She's walking. Like, I was freaking out. And he's like, it's okay. We're going to do a blessing on the apartment. And so once they did that, I never saw her again, is a miracle. God. But I never in my life have, to me, I saw that. Like, it was a person. Like, I couldn't have noticed a difference between if
Is
she,
anybody like, else, like, hot?
Yeah.
I don't talk about that. I don't talk about that story very often because it honestly like brings me back to a time that it like when I tell you it messed me up for a good year.
Personal. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still to this day, like I remember after that for months, I tried to find like if there was a house there at one point that maybe that lady, like maybe she really did lose her ring. Like obviously she's looking for something and she's still there, but it's like, there were years went by. I lived in Utah for 7 years and I would drive by the Brittany sometimes. And I'm like, what would I do if I just saw her going up and down the thing? And I'm like, I can't even look. But
oh my gosh.
It was so bad that Tiffany was like, I'm moving. Like she moved out and I was like, I'm moving. Like we didn't stay at the Brittany. Yeah. We didn't stay at the Brittany much longer, but yeah, it was, it was intense. God.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
That's hard. I know. That's a really hard pass, honestly. Oof.
Yeah. So, oof. I mean, I thankfully, knock on wood, and I'm going to do that. I haven't had any other experiences personally of my own.
Hey, everyone, say your prayers tonight.
I swear it works, so do that.
Sage my room.
Really it does. Yeah, for real. Like prayer works, saging works.
All
of it.
All the things. Believe just do in all the things, and it gets you covered.
Believe in all the
right?
good things, people.
Leave the Ouija boards at home.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, way to save the most intense story for last.
Yeah, literally. I thought that first one was gonna like do me over. No, this one kind of took the cake. I was like, oh my gosh,
this
I'm really gonna have
took
to
the
like
cake. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, tell me about it. In my nightmares, I should say, for a while it was like, where's my ring? I would just hear that voice in my head, where's my ring? And I'm like,
Leah, oh my gosh.
I was 19 or 20 when that happened. I think I was almost
20. Oh, that's
20.
So scary.
It ruined me.
Yeah, but I bet. And you still think about it, obviously. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And see, that's the exact reason why I just don't even like delve into that world at all. Because I know stuff like that happens. It happens to people.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, I've had like some experiences, but nothing to like that degree ever. Like ever. And I don't even want to open that portal at all.
Yeah.
We're not opening that Pandora box at all.
Yeah, nope.
I felt the same way. And I'll be honest. I think the hardest thing for me, aside from the actual event happening, was I started thinking, what was wrong with me that happened? Like, I started thinking, like, am I not being a good enough person that this spirit came to me? Or, like, why could I see it? And I remember talking to my church bishop, and he was like, that has nothing to do with it, actually. Yeah. Like, believe it or not, it has nothing to do with it. It does not mean you're not a good person or that you're bad, and that's why this person showed themselves to you. It has nothing to do with that. And so he like reassured me to not take it that way. And he's like, sometimes people are just in a space where they can, where sometimes things can be seen that you shouldn't be seen. And so I was like, well, we'll go with that. We'll just go with that. Maybe I just had that lens on that day or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Oof. I mean, there's definitely times where you're a little bit, and that's a saying in the church, right? The veil is thin at sometimes. And I think that for certain people, there's, there's spiritual gifts and sometimes they don't feel like gifts.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I'm not about to like develop that gift. We are unsubscribing from that, period.
That's not a gift I want.
Yeah.
I don't want those contact lenses in my eyes. Take them out.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
No thanks. Should we lighten things up with a little benefit?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, please do.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, first, thank you so much, Leah, for telling your very spooky stories.
Thank you.
I'm gonna watch Bluey tonight. I'm
terrified. Yeah, I'm gonna do all the things.
You're welcome.
But okay. Speaking of women with gifts, I have a friend who she is a very gifted author, and I have been reading one of her books, and I'm almost done with this one. Her name is Andrea Anderson, and she's somebody that I met through a friend of a friend, and she is so incredibly talented, and she's published 5 books now at this point. Cool. She is about next year, she's going to be publishing her 6th, but I'm halfway or more than halfway through her 5th book, and I'm just like so impressed with how she writes. This next book that she's going to publish, and she doesn't know I'm talking about this. I was just reading it more today, and I was just like, I need to give this girl a shout out because it's just so good. The books that I've read of hers is called Written by a Woman. It's an open door romance. And the book that I'm currently reading right now is called Melted by a Man, and it's the second in this series. Oh, I'm sorry. She's published 6. There is a third in this series of the workplace open door romance. And the other one is called Tailored for Them. And I need to read that one too. But next year, she is diving into the realm of fantasy romance. And she has started doing some marketing for it. And I'm really excited about this storyline because the way her brain works, I don't know how she thought of this. Okay. You know, she's creating this whole fantasy world. She's like doing the maps and all of this stuff, like creating all of the lore behind this fantasy. And she's said that she started getting into fantasy romance. And when she was thinking about like how there's certain formulas of stories that work for those types of things. And then she started thinking like, okay, yeah, we follow the hero and the hero usually has a love interest, blah, blah, blah. She's like, but what if a story followed the hero's best friend? So as the hero is finding out they have all these powers, they are going to be the savior of this realm, the best friend is also finding out about all of this. And instead of following the hero's love interest, like we do follow the hero love interest a little bit, but we follow the best friend's love. Who would be fitting to be the love interest or the person who's going to be like the romantic interest for the best friend of the heroine of a fantasy realm? The villain. And so this book that she's going to be publishing, and she is finished and she's, you know, doing edits on it right now, but it's following the best friend of this hero and her romantic interlude with the villain. And the way Andrea writes, she writes like we sit here and yap. Okay. Like you're sitting there reading the story of one of your best friends. Like she writes for obviously a younger generation. Our generation, I guess we're not technically younger generation anymore, but whatever. I'm still younger generation.
We're mid.
Exactly. But the way that she writes is really exciting and interesting and new to me. And so I'm really excited for this book of hers to come out because it's going to be a fantasy, which I've never gone into like fantasy romance. I've never gone into fantasy fiction. That's not generally the like genre that I'm going into. But the way that she has positioned this story and the way that she, I know that she writes, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be into this. This is going to be great. So today's benefit is, one, not only find somebody that you enjoy reading, but also just check out my friend Andrea Anderson. And it's spelled like Andrea, and then Anderson is A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N. She's charted on Workplace Romance on Amazon Books. Like, she's taking off, so you could get on the ground floor at this point and become a fan of hers.
Nice.
But her, the book that she's writing that's coming out 2026 is called Hymn of Ashes, and I'm really excited for it. So I hope you guys get to be a little excited for it too.
Yeah, I'll definitely
check
it
out.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. We love a good book recommendation or a book series recommendation.
Absolutely. Honestly. Read Written by a Woman was the first book that I read of hers, obviously Melted by a Man. She has three more previous to that. And like, there are characters that kind of work through all of the books together. Obviously it moves from character to character, but they are, it's all like within the same world.
Okay.
Awesome.
So this is obviously for what age group? Is this like more like an adult?
I would say it's more, it's not our, well, this is book talk
is there
stuff.
Some smut is my
yes,
like 18 plus.
Okay, all right,
this is 18 plus.
okay
this
okay,
is
cool.
18 plus,
there we go. Cool, still good book recommendation.
This is TVMA.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But no, she's fantastic. She's a great human being and she's a fantastic writer. So give her a look.
What a lucky friend that she has in you to be able to shout her out though. Good job, Andrea. I don't even know who you are, but honestly, I think that's awesome that you are writing books and you're just living your dream, girl. Go for it.
Yeah, she,
keep going.
Oh, no, she's great. Mm-hmm. Love her to death. She is not a physical person, but I make her hug me when I see her, so
love that. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm kind of in the same boat with her. Yeah, I'm like, I mean, I like hugs, but I think I really
I
have
like
to
warm
like
hugs.
I don't know if she's this way. I'm totally getting off topic, but like, now that you said that, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of that way too, where I don't really like to hug people, but people know that I love them, I hope, right?
Yeah.
But Andrea, girl, keep shooting for the stars and the galaxy and the universe and the moon and everything beyond, because the world needs to have your books. They sound great. I'm gonna go check it out.
That's
Yay!
Awesome. Yeah.
Women also, supporting women, I love that.
Yeah, no Building shade in up. Not wanting hugs.
Oh gosh, awesome. Well, this has been
all right.
A joy and a dream, a little bit of a nightmare,
yes.
But a dream.
Yeah. Okay. I've gone through like a whole like roller coaster of emotions. Like I was
oh
good,
for sure,
and I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of crazy. And then it got like, okay, like I'm good now. And then it like really took a deep dive.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And now I'm like, okay,
my butthole clenched.
I think I can do this now.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like, I think I can do this.
It's like being at Disneyland on the Incredicoaster and then getting stuck when it's about to go through the loop.
Oh my gosh. Literally.
And then they have to like evacuate you off.
Come
and give
get you
a fast pass to like go back again later. I feel
they
like that's what we
do. They don't do that anymore. They don't even do that anymore. They're so sorry, Disney.
They're stingy
but
with their
pretty,
fast passes.
Yeah.
Pretty pathetic.
Yeah. I know Universal gets them beat on that one, because if you get on Universal ride and it breaks down, they let you go right back on it, which is nice.
We are
totally off topic, but hey,
I know.
Shout out to the theme parks for making our lives great.
This is how the podcast goes though. We are always off topic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's girl talk, right? It's like, this is
yes.
what we do.
Exactly.
Put us together. We're going to oh, yap. Goodness. So.
Yes. We love a yap sesh. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us for today's Yap Sesh, both to Leah and to Allie and to anyone who's listening here. We're real excited that you're here. Hopefully you also felt a little spooky and maybe you need to get a little bluey in your life.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This is great. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yes. Happy Halloween.
May you not have any dreams where somebody's asking you where the ring is. So
yeah, yeah, seriously. No ring.
And if they do, no, it better be the person that's proposing.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Share the podcast with your friends. Share the spooky vibes. Check us out on social media. We're going to be posting videos.
Pictures of us as Bob's Burgers.
Where did that accent come from? Yes. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, we love you guys so much.
We love you.
Love you guys.
Bye.
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 Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's online, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at